AFI Silver Theater and Cultural Center in downtown Silver Spring from March 15 to the 28th. The festival features 26 films from 16 countries, including 3 years premieres and discussions with filmmakers. Explore the diversity of new filmmaking from Africa at the 2024 New African Film Festival. Tickets and full schedule at afi.com/silver. That's afi.com/silver. Or call 301-495-6700. 301-495-6700. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
You know, nowadays it seems like there's a lot of bad things going on, and I guess a lot of it, from the way I see it, seems to still stem from lack of feelings on our parts is how we relate or communicate with our fellow brothers and sisters. Hatred is a feeling, love is a feeling. Let's hate all that does not allow us to love. And we can do that just by getting to know each other and talking to the people. Who can you turn to tell your troubles? Tell them to. You can't go around wondering what it is you gotta do. You gotta be ready and willing. And willing to make a move. Nobody can push you if you don't want to move. You suffer, cry, and hate. And live the American way. Fly the hateful skies of America. Fly the American way. Gotta talk to the people.
Yeah. All right, indeed. Time to talk to the people. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the WPFW's Community Watching Comment Friday edition. Today, we're going to have a special broadcast. Chip and Don will not be with us today because we have some guests that are going to be talking about the WPFW Town Hall, which takes place tomorrow. Now, you're talking about talking to the people? Well, here's an opportunity to talk to the people. As our local station board presents this town hall meeting that's going to take place tomorrow, Saturday, March 16th, at the New Bethany Baptist Church, 1300 10th Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., from noon until 2:30 p.m. Our theme, Generations Moving Forward in Unity. I like that. Generations moving forward in unity. Listeners and supporters of all ages are welcome. Younger listeners are especially encouraged to attend. We want to hear from you concerning community needs, shaping future broadcasting, and more. This all takes place once again tomorrow from noon until 2:30 p.m. at the New Bethany Baptist Church, 1300 10th Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. And today we're going to talk with some of the people planning, some of the LSB members who are planning this activity, because it's a very, very important that we reach out and touch. Remember that line? Reach out and touch our community members and our listeners to find out what their interests are. Their concerns and their hopes and aspirations. Now, joining me on the broadcast today are three of our LSB members. We have Violetta Diamond. She's the chair of the Town Hall Committee, of the LSB Town Hall Committee. We also have Robert Gordon. He's chair of the Community Assessment portion of the town hall, and Tony Leon, also longtime PFW member and are also involved with the community assessment, the community survey, because that's one of the things that it's going to take place tomorrow during this town hall. And joining us a little bit later will be Dennis Williams, chair of the local station board. So once again, these folks are all involved in planning this town hall, and we definitely want you guys to come out and attend and share your thoughts and things, because it is important for us as a station to find out what the community is feeling about the station, about what we do and how we do it. So please put that on your calendar tomorrow. And by the way, if you can't make it live, you can go to our website. There will be a Zoom address for those who would like to participate by Zoom. And we'll be telling you more about that also. So right now, I want to welcome our special guest, Violetta. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we'll also have Robert Gordon. Good morning, Robert. Robert? Okay, Tony, are you there?
Good morning, Ron. I'm here.
No, very good. Good to hear you, man. Good to hear you. All right, so Violetta, you know, you have a lot more details about this than I've shared so far. So let's start with you. And, you know, tell us about the town hall. And first of all, folks, I want to let you know that WPFW is mandated to have at least two town halls a year. This will be our first one for this year. And so, this, like I said, we're mandated to do at least two per year. We can possibly do more, but we are mandated to do two. All right. Good morning, Violetta.
Good morning, and thank you so much for inviting the LSB and particularly the Outreach Committee to be on your show. I, too, am a programmer with Sophie's Parlor every Wednesday, but I'm not here for that from 3 to 5. I'm here for the Outreach Committee, and I'm just really proud of the committee that we work with, and we've been working together with the other guests, and we take a collaborative approach to serve the community. So I just wanted to let you know that I'm standing as chair on the shoulders of previous chairpersons, and the last one was Martha, who is still on. Martha Peterson.
Yes.
She's still very active, and she helps me with my new position as chair. And the other members are like Marcia Edwards, Gloria Turner, yeah, Sabu Hakeem. We got Minerva Sanders, Irene Adams, Donna Grimes, Mariah McLean, and Ambrose Lane. I hope I didn't leave anybody out, but yes. So as far as our town hall, like you said, this is our first for this year. Last year we had a couple, one for people to meet the candidates, and we also helped with coordinating the Blues Festival and the 5K run. But back to the town hall, we feel, and every WPFW feels, that it's important to connect with the listening community, and that's what the town hall is for. So we really hope to see you tomorrow from 12 to 2:30. You'll get to hear from the management at the station, the general manager, and the program director. And this town hall is really focused on youth engagement. And so we are going to delve into what the youth would like to see from the station and the impact on youth culture. And there will be food and the assessments that you're talking about, the MASS committee, the Management Assessment and Search Evaluation Committee, will do a report, and they want to get your thoughts. And our local station board chair will be there. And it will be a few moments to reflect on and say farewell to the outgoing general manager. And also, which is very important, we invite community participation and comment. So there will be a time for that.
Very good. Very good. Sounds like a well organized event. As you mentioned, the general manager, Jerry Parris, will be leaving. One of the things that will be available at this town hall is some input from you guys about, you know, what you expect of the next general manager for WPFW. And I really want to reemphasize this theme, generations moving forward in unity, because we've been here since 1977, 47 years. And yes, we have generations of people that have been participants and have been a part of this wonderful, wonderful station. We have Robert. Robert, are you here?
Hello.
Yeah, good morning, Robert.
Hey,
this is Robert
Ron.
Gordon.
How
yes,
are you?
Yes, good, Robert. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Sure. My pleasure.
One of the things that that will take place tomorrow, we're doing a community survey, and we'd like to, you know, for you to tell us, you know, about that, and why that's so important.
Okay, sure, Ron, sure. And thanks for asking me to come on. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate the opportunity to, to tell the folks and share with them a little bit of what we've been doing in this super important endeavor, and especially how much we need their support to make sure that we can, continue to provide the people of our area everything that WPFW already provides, and hopefully, you know, enhance it going forward to take it to another level. So this is all geared, the survey that we've prepared as a part of our search for a new general manager is all focused and directed to getting feedback from the community as to what they believe are the best qualities that the new general manager should have, what goals the general manager should be interested in pursuing to help make the station the best it can be, what priorities those goals should have on the general manager's list, and how the people can help support the general manager going forward as directly as possible. And when we say people, when I say people, when our committee says people, we're talking about donors, members, volunteers, staff, and programmers to give effective support to the general manager. And I'll just mention that this survey is going to be intended for all of those groups, with some of the questions and answers maybe applying more or less strongly to, you know, different classes of folks depending upon what group they fall in, and also what the general manager should do to best form a bond and connect with those community members. And then really we kind of have a couple of open-ended questions in there too, like what is working at PFW in folks' opinion, and of course the flip side of that coin, you know, what is not working at WPFW. And then finally, just a broad, you know, open the door to folks just giving us their opinion on anything they want related to the station. So not only, and the intention of it is not only to use these responses in terms of helping our committee get together the best qualified pool of candidates that we possibly can, but also as a guide going forward for the general manager, once that person is selected and they are in place and ready to do their thing and take us to where we should be, whatever that next level is, that they will have the voice of the people there to guide them going forward. So we are really hoping for a tremendous response and as many responses to the survey as we can possibly get, and we can pledge to our community in full that that will be, you know, one of the main touchstones in, you know, in making the decision as to the pool of candidates and then that actual person who becomes the general manager. So I know that's a long answer, Ron. I don't know if you're looking for that much information.
No, that's it's a long answer, but it's a very detailed answer, and it's a very, you know, thorough answer because people want to know. And it's important that they understand the dynamics involved. I want to bring Tony Leon into the conversation because this survey is not only going to be available at the town hall. Tony, you want to tell us more about that?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Well, Robert pretty much laid out the gist of it. He, myself, and Ambrose are on that subcommittee that developed it. But Ron, first, before I talk about that, let me say one thing. This is the only program that devotes the entire hour to hearing from the community. And I remember when it was done Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., it was kind of an alternative to the C-SPAN Washington Journal. And, man, I just want to thank you for keeping it going because it's real community involvement, community combat. And I for one, really appreciate this hour on Friday.
Thank you very much, Tony. Appreciate that.
Thanks for making the time to inform the listeners about the town hall, too. The survey, like Robert said, is involving the community and asking the community to answer 8 questions. It's just 8 questions. 7 of them are open-ended. And like he said, we want the volunteers, we want staff, we want members, we want listeners. We want people who want the station to be successful, viable institution that it started as back in 1977. And it'll be available on paper for completion and return at the town hall tomorrow. And then it'll be available on the WPFW webpage starting sometime next week. The deadline for completing it is set right now for March the 30th. And I guess the only other thing I would add is that if anybody would like to contact the search committee, we have an email address, which is wpfwgmsearch24@gmail.com.
All right. Very good. Very good. All right. And also joining us this morning is Dennis Williams. Dennis Williams is the current chair of the local station board. Dennis, as I started the show off, I was explaining to people that, you know, we're mandated to have at least one town hall, at least 2 town halls per year, this being the first. Your thoughts about the value of these town halls and why they're so important to our listenership.
Okay, well, thanks, Ron, and thanks for having me on. I think especially now these are even more important occasions, and this is going to be a hybrid town hall in person, but also people available on Zoom. But the context is that for the last 4 years, the local station board itself has been meeting primarily on Zoom, not in person as we used to at the station. We don't even get to have that sense of community among ourselves with the board on a regular basis.
I miss those days, Dennis.
Yeah, yeah,
Those in-person meetings, absolutely.
Yeah. So there are different, you know, events and occasions and opportunities when we can connect in person. But it's, you know, it's not a regular monthly occurrence the way it used to be. And so if, you know, for the 24 members of the board to be in that kind of a bubble, then, you know, just it's even more compounded when we don't get to connect with our community, and the community doesn't get to connect with the station the way it used to. So these are, you know, as we are slowly emerging and having some, you know, some hybrid events, and, you know, weather's breaking a little bit. Hopefully, you know, by the time we get to next winter, we'll have a lot more of interactions in person. But that's just, you know, that's the particular context. In general, it's always important. You know, we're a community radio station. You know, we don't, commercial entities are beholden to stockbrokers. You know, and the board of directors represent the stockholders. You know, it's our listeners. The listeners own the station. The listeners are the members who control the station, and it's important for us to provide a forum where they can come talk to the station management, to programmers, to the board that represents them. The board is made up of people who were elected by the listeners, just to hear what, you know, what they think about how we're doing, you know, how the station is doing, what they like that they hear on the air, if there are things that they want to hear more of, if there are things that they want to hear different, and just, you know, so that kind of specific informational feedback is one of the things. But even beyond that, a sense of community.
Indeed.
Radio still should be able to do, you know, what it used to, and what I guess for a lot of people, social media now is, you know, you hear something on the radio and you imagine that there are others sharing the same experience with you, right? So that there are other people who are enjoying the same music, who are sharing and benefiting from the same information, and especially because of the nature of WPFW with the public affairs programming, we put out a lot of things that people can, okay, you can go here and hear this kind of live music. You can go and hear this a poetry reading, a lecture. You know, there's a rally or a march about this thing. So we're putting out information that also allows people to come together in real time, you know, in the world, and that's great. You know, it's a collective call, right? For folks to come together, not only as listeners, but to hear about other occasions where that you can actually go and be in a space with other people, and that's really a large part of the value of WPFW as a community radio station. The town hall is just one more means to get to that goal. Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, the town hall is another way for us to help reach that goal, for people to actually, you know, physically, you know, come together meet each other, share ideas, you know, not only feedback to the station, but also just, you know, in communion with listeners, in communion with one another.
All right. And, you know, there's also something else on the table that's very, very important to our listenership. And that's the fact that we have to relocate. We have to, you know, our lease is up at our current property in December. So we're actively engaged in, you know, searching for a new location. And I'm going to take this opportunity to ask anybody out there who's listening, who may know of a property, have access to a property that they think may be a good fit for us, we are more than welcome to contact us and let us know about that that piece of property. And because once again, we're actively engaged in this search. And also this, folks, you know, one thing about PFW, if you want to hear radio now, you have to get a subscription. You have to pay a monthly fee to hear stuff on radio. WPFW is not like that. That's also what makes us so special. Okay, so all you folks out there that have kept us alive with your donations over the years, thank you so much for keeping us on the air. Violetta?
Yes.
You mentioned earlier on that this town hall is particularly geared toward our youth. Would you like to explain that further? And by the way, folks, you are in tune to 89.3 FM, WPFW Washington. This is Community Watch and Comment, special edition. Today, this is a town hall preview. Tomorrow, WPFW is hosting a town hall, the local station board town hall meeting will take place this Saturday, March 16th, at the New Bethany Baptist Church. And I want to thank them for allowing us to be there. That's the New Bethany Baptist Church, 1300 10th Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., from noon until 2:30. And younger listeners are especially encouraged to attend and to participate. And for those who, you know, want to go live, there will be refreshments served at some point during the meeting. And those who can't can go to our website and get the Zoom address so that you can participate by Zoom. So Violetta, what's the rationale behind this effort to reach out to youth, youth in crisis, many would say?
Yes, that is our emphasis, and it's the running thread throughout the town hall and what WPFW is doing. It comes from the theme. We voted on that. We generations moving forward in unity. And the intergenerational need is really what we're emphasizing, because we want, everybody loves WPFW, who are the programmers, who's running the station, and people want it to go on. We want the youth to be involved and also to take advantage of the institutional knowledge and the skills that the people who are currently participating and volunteering and doing programming at the station. So there will also be a survey for the youth, and you can think about it before tomorrow so you can give some really good answers. It's just, we want to know what would get younger communities engaged with WPFW, and any ideas that the youth would like as far as getting involved. You know, WPFW needs some help with social media. Maybe some of the youth can help us with that. You know, we endeavor to highlight jazz artists in the DMV. Sophie's Parlor does that, and other stations, and we have some younger programmers as well. WPFW, before the pandemic, had some internships and volunteers and things like that, especially in the news department, looking to see, you know, opportunities for that. Just to also, what different genres of music. You know, we are jazz and justice, but, you know, to know what genres would be particularly interesting to the youth. So just real honest feedback as WPFW tries to meet those needs and bridge the gap and, you know, make sure that it is a sustainable future of people, because WPFW is made of people, doing the programming, doing this show, doing every show. So that's what the idea behind that is.
So ordinary people doing extraordinary things.
That's right.
All right. Tony, before we let you go, what would you like to say about this emphasis on youth or relocation or anything that the survey that people should look for tomorrow at this town hall?
The youth are our successors, Ron.
Indeed.
We got to bring them up right.
Look, we were youth once.
Still in our hearts.
We came in young, too.
Yeah. You know, I look at WPFW and Pacifica as a similar to a university, you know. When the fund drives come around, I pay my tuition. And everybody should be doing the same, because this is a place where people of all ages can come and learn about things that they aren't teaching anywhere else. So, you know, our successors, you know, the successors to the revolutionaries, to the Kwame Ture's, the Malcolm X's, and so forth, you know, they need to find out about them, and this is the place where they can go to find out about them, really, on a regular basis. And I hope they come out to the town hall and are willing to help us keep this station going. We've been going 47 years now, and hope to continue another 47 years, at least.
Hey. All right. Tony Leon, longtime member of the WPFW family, member of our local station board. Thank you for participating this morning in this conversation about the town hall. We're going to, before we, you know, because you know, community comment, you know, we try to open our phone lines, you know, so that people can call in and register their thoughts and opinions. It's very important of what we do here at the station. So, Tony, thanks again for participating this morning, and look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Pleasure. See you then.
All right. Hey, folks. My guest this morning, Violetta Diamond, chair of this town hall committee. We have Dennis Williams, LSB chair for the local station board, and also Robert Gordon, who is one of the architects of the survey that you listeners will have access to tomorrow during the town hall. And of course, online as well, because we do want to get as many responses as we can as we move forward with a new general manager, relocation, all of these issues, you know, before us. We've got an election coming up, you know, this year. PFW will be right in the heart of that, you know, representing those who are underrepresented. Because that's what we do, okay? So at this time, Dennis, I'm going to ask you to talk about the relocation effort and where we are with that, and anything else you would like to suggest to our listeners about how they can participate in that process as well.
Okay. Well, as you say, our lease is expiring at the current location. We have a committee that's made up of station management folks and LSB folks, working with a real estate broker and also working with the Pacifica. Pacifica National Management, we are reviewing properties. First thing we did was an assessment of our space needs to make sure that any space that we look at is sufficient because, you know, obviously some things have changed. We won't need a space as large as the current space, but we also want to be able to, you know, just build in some flexibility, the ability to, to expand and adjust. So we're looking at somewhere around a minimum of 2,200, 2,500 square feet of space that will allow us to do, you know, to have the basic studio space.
Also, kind of a feat. There we go. Okay. Go ahead and continue, Dennis.
So that's the basic studio space and prep space for programmers, audience office space for staff, and some space for folks to come into the station. So 2,200, 2,500 square feet. We need a space that's going to be accessible, not only physically accessible, people can reach it on public transportation, and there is sufficient parking nearby. Those are the primary requirements. And then, of course, there are some technical requirements it's a radio station. It's not just an office. So there are things that we need to be able to do. And our engineers are all over that, making sure that any space that we look at, we'll be able to broadcast from. So we're excited about the possibility. Looking at different parts of town around the area, places that fit both the space and our cost requirements. We have a budget we want to stick to in terms of paying the rent. We are doing our normal due diligence through working with a real estate broker and all of that, but we also know that, whenever you're looking for something, you may be looking for a house, your co-worker's sister-in-law knows somebody who's about to move. We're a community. We've got listeners. So if people know about places that you think could be appropriate, we want to be able to move quickly, but we're at the moment where we're sort of exploring leads, anything comes up, we will check it out as quickly as possible, to see if it fits the needs, and trying to, to narrow things down.
Make some decisions. I just want to say this also to our listeners that, we're looking for properties in any part of the city. Northwest, southwest, southeast, northeast. Yep. We've not eliminated any area for consideration. And so if you know of a property in any of those areas, get in touch with us and provide us some detail about it as much as you can.
If it's viable,
we'll look at it.
Yeah, no redlining. We just look at every space on its own merit. The other thing I want to say, stepping back a little bit, is that this is it's an opportunity to space is the physical space is one representation of the opportunity we have to reimagine the radio station. A lot of people are saying that, do you even need a physical studio now that since COVID and a lot of things are being done remotely? Well, yeah, we still want to be able to come together and have a central location and do some things, but I think that space will end up inevitably being used differently than it was 10 years ago. Certainly, in 1977, probably differently than it is now. And I'm not smart enough to know what that's going to look like. But our listeners are. Our listeners are, and that's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons we want the new generation of folks to figure out, community public radio was a revolution. But it's evolving. You know, what is the next revolution gonna look like? How can this thing we call community radio, you know, with the kind of equipment we have and the kind of space that we will have and the kind of community that we're building, what's that going to be? I don't know, but I'm really excited to find out. And, you know, moving into this new space is just going to be one small piece of that.
Yeah. It's a very exciting time, you know, the PFW, you know, growing, getting stronger, at a time when it's absolutely necessary, you know, with corporate media, you know, running havoc on the citizenry. Once again, I want to thank all of our listeners and supporters for making that possible, for making our survival and growth possible. Thank you so much for all that you've done for us over the years. And listen, we have it's 11:40. We're going to open the phone line here so that if anybody has a question for one of our guests, they can, you know, ask their question about the town hall. That number to call is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. We want to, you know, keep your thoughts as concise as possible because we have limited time. All right. In the meantime, you know, while we're waiting on those calls, is there anything else that you'd like to add, Robert, you know, about the survey?
Sure, Ron. I mean, two things. One of them is kind of technical in that, you know, Tony talked about availability options and how it's going to be posted, and that's the clear message that we want everybody to understand. We're trying to make it as easy as possible for as many people as possible to respond. I just want to add that it's our goal to have it done in a, you know, electronic survey fashion. You know, one of those survey monkeys seems to be the, not to promote anybody, but to say that, you know, that seems to work easiest and best. So if you look out for that on the website, hopefully it'll be there really to give people the opportunity to go on in as much detail as they feel is necessary to express themselves. So just to add that piece to what Tony was saying, and also kind of piggyback on what Dennis was talking about, Violetta and yourself, Ron, to say, you know, WPFW is a unique member of the Pacifica family. You know, I grew up in New York and was very familiar with WBAI. Even when I was a youngster, my band played on WBAI many, many years ago. So that just kind of connected my heart to it, obviously, because that was a wonderful experience, a wonderful opportunity. But when I came down here a long time ago to go to law school, to learn that WPFW was here, was just a continuation of that important thread. Just in, you know, Pacifica, there is nothing like Pacifica in terms of media in America. It is certainly not on commercial radio, but to the extent that the First Amendment means anything, this is where it happens, period. You know, a voice that needs to be heard. And when you break that down to the level of Washington, D.C. and the surrounding area and what WPFW provides, along with the layer of this, in my mind, this still being Chocolate City, you know, that things have changed, but when I came down here, that's the message, you know, I got that message up in New York, and then when I came down here, I saw it for myself. And so we have a very unique voice in terms of, you know, the whole Pacifica family. And so really what I'm trying to emphasize in a long-winded way, because that's what...
Oh, Robert? Okay, we lost him for a second there. Well, you know... Something he said there said would make a great bumper sticker. WBMW. This is where it happens.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Exactly. Different from New York, different from LA, different from Houston, you know, different from anywhere, really different from anywhere in the world. So this is vitally important to us. We want to get that understanding and get this feedback. So it's a unique opportunity across the board. when, as you know, Dennis was describing in detail, so many changes are happening at the station, and it's the people's station, and that's why I'm just really encouraging y'all to give us what we need to make it better for you and all of us, period.
Thanks very much, Robert. We got a caller, and once again, our guests are Violetta Diamond, Robert Gordon, and Board Chair Dennis Williams. And now we have a guest caller to with a question or a statement. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WPFW.
Good morning. How are you?
We are just fine. How are you?
I'm quite blessed. I'm Sister Sunshine, thanking everyone for their work there. Ms. Diamond, you double dip. You have a show on you, LSB. You double dip. Thank you. Okay, so I have not heard any PSAs, and I missed a few moments earlier this show, but I don't think I missed this. No one seems to be addressing, warning we, the Earways family, that as D.C. has some of its many M-A-N-Y marathons, they will be rocking and rolling tomorrow, and so therefore no buses will be anywhere near the church, nothing north-south, nothing east-west. So people, of course, need to govern themselves accordingly if they're trying to get there in person. You know, clap eyes on folk we haven't seen in a few years, perhaps bump an elbow. Nothing is there, not a thing. No buses will be running. You know how marathons are. You can't have vehicles and people at the same time on tarmac. Nothing. Nothing from O-Dark 30 through about 4 p.m., which, of course, covers the time frame of the meeting. Option to Zoom. But for those who don't want to Queen Riri, who want to be there in person, we need to govern ourselves a little bit more accordingly, give ourselves perhaps more time, if we can, to stroll there. I can stroll there. I'm one of several who might be able to stroll there, but other people might be wanting to take the bus. Can't take a bus. So we need to let them know. I'm not hearing any PSAs. Dear people, we're so sorry, but guess what's happening the same day as the town hall? So you all might let one of people know that. I think I would want to let people know that. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so
much.
That's
pretty much it.
Yeah,
thank you all for your work.
Yeah, that's very important, folks. So, you know, if you can, you know, if you can drive down there, you know, keep in mind
you can't
that
get there.
Some streets will be closed.
So, lots of streets will be closed.
Mind.
No
thank
buses,
you very much
no
for
50 buses, no S buses, no 16th Street buses, no Georgia Avenue buses, no Crosstown buses. The P Streeter is a cross street near the church. No G bus, no 90 buses, nothing.
All right, well, thanks for that warning.
Okie doke, thank you all for your work. Yay, PFW, rest in power. Mama Dory, rest in power. Jim Brown
Amen.
From Mind Talk.
All
righty, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Ryan, is it okay if I give out the Zoom number?
Well, you know, it's giving Zoom numbers out is kind of complicated. I mean,
okay.
We can...
All right.
It's best that they go to the website.
Okay.
And they can get all of that, you know, and write it down and do what they have to do to utilize that availability.
Okay.
So, you know, for those who, you know, who do really want to participate and want to avoid the traffic issues, then by all means, go to our website, look for the town hall meeting, and just scroll down and you will see the Zoom codes there that's available to all of our listeners, and take advantage of it. Okay. That's a good piece of technology that came about because of COVID and everything else. But once again, consider that when you're making your plans to attend. Okay. All right. The number 202-588-0893. If you got another question or an idea about the town hall, you know, give us a call. Dennis, you know, the website clearly talks about the town hall and what its objectives are, those objectives seem to dovetail. What they do dovetail with the mission of the WPFW local station board, and that's why these town halls are put together.
Yeah, you know, we are an advisory board.
you know, our job as the local station board, first we represent the listeners, you know, representative democracy. We're elected by listener members. You know, we are a group of dedicated volunteers, work with management, to provide, you know, there are only a few specific things that are sort of in the Pacifica bylaws. We, provide, oversight for, the budget, make sure that the station has a working budget. We arrange for, ongoing, evaluations of the station, the leadership. And we arrange for occasions like this to provide opportunities for interface with the public and to receive feedback from the public. You know, town hall is so that's sort of the specific traditional way, but you know, we're talking about, you know, different you know, the fact that this is it's going to be a hybrid event. You know, there are ways of having that kind of communication that had not been anticipated when the bylaws were written. So we want to continue to provide the in-person opportunities, but also, you know, you're just talking about, you know, SurveyMonkey, right? So there are ways that people will have an opportunity online to provide some input to help design the job description of the next general manager, right? So that's a new way that you know, that the LSB can help help perform its functions.
Okay, Dennis. We've got one more caller. We want to go ahead and go to this caller before we run out of time. So, caller, welcome to WPFW. Oh, you hung up? Okay, very good. All right. We've got, it's 11:52, actually. We've got about 3 minutes left. Violetta, as organizer of this town hall, you know, your final thoughts about people coming out tomorrow or participating on Zoom.
So thank you so much, Ron, for inviting us to Community Watch and Comment. It is indeed an honor. And as far as the community, we just really, really, really want to hear from you. This is our true intention. So whatever way that you can attend, you know, if you have to fight through to get to the church, we would love to see your face. But if you need to join by Zoom, please do so, because we are very serious about fulfilling the mission of PFW and the mission of serving the community. And we do it best if we hear straight from the community. So we just invite you to attend in any way that you can. At New Bethany Baptist Church or via Zoom.
And who was that? Was that Dennis?
Yeah. I just want to say I've been checking stuff online. I know there are no buses, but you know, you should be able to get within about half a mile on one of the one of the metro stops. So if that's something that that you are willing and able to do, we encourage you to try that also.
Okay. And I want to remind our listeners that the local station board is comprised of people like you. You know, they're not corporate bigwigs, and, you know, they didn't buy their way into the representation. They were voted and selected by you, the people, of the DMV. And I do say DMV because we serve all three jurisdictions, and we've got representatives from all three jurisdictions, which is vitally important to our diversity. And Robert, you have any final words about the town hall tomorrow before we wrap up?
I just want the people to show up, suit up, be there, and please do what we're asking them to do, because we need their support. And thanks, Ron, for this opportunity to participate, especially as a new member of the LSB, what Ron was just talking about. I just got elected to the post. So I'm learning. I'm a baby. I'm an infant when, you know, compared to Dennis, et cetera, and y'all. So it's just a real honor to be on online with you today talking about an issue that's important. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Violetta Diamond, Dennis Williams, Robert Gordon, Tony Leon. Those were our participants this morning. And more important, you, the listener. That's all about you guys. So please, if you can make it to that town hall tomorrow, give it your best effort. If you can't, you go to our website and take advantage of the Zoom portal, because they're going to be talking about a lot of great things that are of interest to you, the listener. So thank you very much for participating. This has been a special edition of Community Watch and Comment. It's our town hall preview. And I hope to see you folks there tomorrow. Hope to see you in the place, as they say.
Thanks, Ron.
I also want to just remind folks that on Monday, a tribute to Dory Ladner is going to take place on Hill, D.C. So be sure to tune in for that. She's going to have the chairman of the NAACP,
WPFW in Washington, and WBAI New York. I'm Chris Bangert-Drowns with some brief news headlines. Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis, who is leading one of the criminal prosecutions against former President Trump, must choose between stepping aside from the case or removing a special prosecutor with whom she had a romantic relationship. A judge in Atlanta ruled today that the relationship created, quote, an appearance of impropriety, though he did not say that it amounted to a conflict of interest. Judge Scott McAfee also questioned the truthfulness of some testimony from Willis and the special prosecutor Nathan Wade. Trump's attorneys had demanded that Willis be removed from the case altogether. In the case, Trump and 18 co-defendants are facing racketeering and other charges for their attempts to overturn the results of the 2020 election in Georgia. James Crumley, the father of school shooter Ethan Crumley, was found guilty yesterday of involuntary manslaughter. Prosecutors said James Crumley was grossly negligent because he bought a gun for his teenage son just 4 days before the 2021 attack that killed 4 students at a Michigan high school. Crumley also failed to properly secure the weapon and ignored his son's declining mental health. His wife, Jennifer Crumley, was convicted of the same charges last month. They are the first parents in the country to be held criminally accountable for a child's school shooting. The parents will be sentenced early next month, and both face a maximum of 15 years in prison. Ethan Crumley pleaded guilty in October 2022 to the killings and was sentenced to life in prison without parole. Former President Trump attended a hearing in federal court in Florida yesterday, where a judge ruled against his request to toss out the criminal case involving the retention of classified documents. The hearing was before District Judge Eileen Cannon, who Trump had nominated to the federal bench. In her ruling, Cannon said Trump's lawyers made some points, quote, warranting serious consideration, but ultimately she found a dismissal of charges was not merited. Trump's lawyers argued that he did have the authority to designate the top secret documents as personal documents and maintain possession of them after he left office. Special Counsel Jack Smith has insisted that the documents Trump retained were presidential, not personal, and that the power to designate documents as personal does not apply to top secret information. In international news, Australia today announced that it will restore its funding to the UN agency dedicated to humanitarian relief for Palestinians, joining Sweden, the European Commission, and Canada in reinstating funding. The agency, known as UNRWA, lost hundreds of millions of dollars in funding from Western countries several weeks ago, following Israeli allegations that some of the agency's thousands of staff members participated in the October 7th Hamas attack. Australia was one of 15 international partners to freeze funding for UNRWA, leaving the agency facing imminent collapse. The United States still has yet to restore its funding to UNRWA, and spokespeople have said it is waiting on the result of an investigation before making a decision. And the U.S. yesterday imposed sanctions on 2 Israeli settlements in the West Bank and 3 settlers it accused of undermining stability in the region. The State Department said the 2 settlements were used as bases for violence against Palestinians. The sanctions are the second package issued by the U.S. against Israeli settlers in the West Bank. The first package, from February, targeted four men accused of being involved in settler violence. Israel's far-right finance minister, who lives in a West Bank settlement, called the sanctions part of a, quote, campaign designed to tarnish the entire state of Israel.